Welcome to the Bravo Papers, a safe space for all us Bravo fans who love to analyze, deconstruct, and talk about our favorite Bravo shows ad nauseum. So join me, Bravo and Botox, and we'll catch up on all the Bravo news and read way too much into our favorite shows and Bravo celebrities. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Bravo Papers, Bravo Weekly News, here with your host, Bravo and Botox. Hope you are all doing well, enjoying the summer, you know, enjoying a long weekend for my Canadian listeners. This August long weekend is a long weekend for us. I don't know if it is for other people or if it might be. If it is for you, then good for you. If not, then hope that you are listening to this and it is making your week better in some way, whether you're working or driving, looking after the kids, whatever you're doing. Hope all is well. And I just want to shout out a little apology to all of you because I didn't put out a weekly news episode last week, not because there was no news or anything. To be honest, I was just kind of burnt out. I felt like, you know, when you just have one of those days where you just can't do it, that was like my whole week almost. I just felt like I couldn't mentally do it. Like I just needed a mental health break. I just had too much on my plate. I was overwhelmed and I know I'm getting to that point when I start to feel kind of like unmotivated to do anything, even things that I enjoy doing, like the podcast. So once I get to that point, it's like I have to take a break or else I'll just shut down and do nothing. And, you know, I obviously have to prioritize, you know, being a mom, all that kind of stuff. So thank you for your understanding. And, you know, I'm going to give you double the news this episode because I'll go through stuff that we missed from last week, and I'll also go through, you know, what's new this week. So I'm going to start with New Jersey because obviously the finale was yesterday. So I'm recording this on Monday. The finale was yesterday and it was something. I have to admit, I kind of like wish there was a reunion now that I've seen the finale. I was sort of like, I don't really need a reunion, but like, I was kind of like, I'm good with Jersey just wrapping up right now. But I feel like there's a lot of unanswered questions. I don't know. But I enjoyed the finale, actually. I think everybody was wrong. And also some good points were made on both sides. And I thought it was pretty entertaining. I think maybe the person who kind of was sort of like the biggest flop of the finale and maybe the season, to be honest, was Melissa. Everyone else kind of brought it on both sides, and Melissa was kind of like womp womp womp. So yeah, there was, but I mean, that's like what Melissa does. She's just like a flop all the time, but you know, she tried. But Danielle, I guess Danielle's still entertaining though. Danielle is entertaining. So, you know, even though she got, what's it called, pulled out crying or whatever after she blew up at Jen, you know, she still brought something to the episode, I can say that. Marge did a good job of, like, you know, even though I think Marge is guilty of a lot of different things, she did a good job standing up for herself and kind of proving her point. You know, not that I think she's right about everything, but she did do a good job of, like, I don't know how to say it, pleading her case. You know, I kind of liked like that, like final conversation between her and Teresa. Like, it's so funny because everybody thought the downfall was going to be Melissa and Teresa, but like Melissa doesn't have like head bitch in charge energy, and Marge does, and Teresa does. So like Marge versus Teresa is like, it's more of a even playing field, not in terms of intelligence, because Marge is obviously smarter, but just in terms of like the ability to like lead and be kind of like the leader of the group and get people on their side and get people to follow them. Like, they're both good at doing that. you know, they both have a kind of power in that way. So them, it's like the two mob bosses, like having a conversation, you know what I mean? And then, you know, Jen and like Danielle and they're like kind of the, like, you know, the underlings who are like serving under the mob bosses. Like if this was Sopranos, you know, Teresa would be one gang leader and then Marge would be the other one. And then they all have like their people in their groups. Okay. So let's go into it, because now I'm just getting too much into the finale. I'm going to talk more about the finale on my Patreon, by the way. So that's what I'm going to be talking about this week, along with my Ladies of London recap. You know, I'm recapping the finale of season one of Ladies of London. If you've been watching along, you could also join and go back and listen to the whole first season of Ladies of London recapped. I've been doing one or two episodes a week, and we're going to be moving to season two and then three. We're going to do the whole series. It's really good. Like I never knew what I was missing because I never watched it. And now I'm getting a little depressed because I'm going to finish season three and like there's nothing else. It's just like it deserved more. I mean, maybe I'm wrong because I haven't watched season three. Maybe I'll change my mind. But based on, you know, the amount of people that are interested in Ladies of London and want to listen to the recaps, even though it's an old show, it's clearly got something. All right, so let's go into New Jersey news. So, oh, by the way, it's patreon.com/BravoandBotox. If you want to subscribe, $5 a month, you get 4 extra episodes a month. So it's a great deal. Okay, so let's go into last week's Jersey news just to kind of catch up, and then we'll go into this week's. So Melissa was on Watch What Happens Live, and basically she, you know, there's some stuff, it's not really news, just like, you know, she calls Jen Aiden an asshole, says she wants to know why Jackie is a traitor, like all this other stuff. She says she wasn't surprised to hear that Teresa was using Jackie, but she is surprised that Jackie doesn't care. I mean, I don't know why she would be surprised by that. Jackie has always been like the thirstiest person when it comes to getting back on the show. I really think that Jackie's kind of motive for whoever she's friends with is to get back on the show. Like, I think she saw that being friends with like Melissa and Marge and that like wasn't getting her back on. So she went to the other side. I'm not saying that maybe her and Teresa didn't end up like actually liking each other or whatever the case is over time. But, you know, Jackie's like, well, this isn't working. I got to try something else. Like, I feel like Jackie will just try anything. Again, she's very thirsty. But, okay. So she also said, this is the part that's kind of news, that she was proud of Danielle for slamming a drink upside Jen Aiden's head. And then Andy did not like that answer because Bravo is trying to distance themselves, quote unquote, from violence. So Andy gives her a look like, you know, kind of like a disappointed dad look, like, don't say that, please. And then he was like, we do not condone violence, which I'm kind of like, okay, Andy, you know, I mean, do you not? I don't know, whatever. Okay. So another thing that came out is that sources are saying that Melissa Gorga and her family, and again, this is all just kind of news just because the show or the season's coming to an end. But basically, Melissa and her family are not getting a spinoff, and that Bravo's not interested. But, you know, has been trying to involve her family on the show this season in hopes that they will cast them in some kind of like fun spinoff. But apparently the rumor is that it's not happening, which, I mean, is that news? I feel like Melissa's been kind of trying for that for years. Like, I remember her retweeting a fan who was like, give Melissa and Joe their own show, and her retweeting it and like, yeah, it would be amazing. Like, I think she's been trying for that for a long time, but like, they aren't interesting enough on their own. They're just not. So Teresa in an interview said that we will never see her with the Gorgas again, which 6 months ago, I would have been like, yeah, I could see that. Now I'm kind of like, maybe not. I don't know. You just never know with these people. You really do. Okay. So she was on, Kelly Ripa's show. I don't even know what it's called anymore. I'm sorry. Kelly and someone, I'm sure. Kelly and some co-host, probably. I don't know. And Kelly asked her, so we're never going to see you two on camera again. And she said, never again, never again. And then, you know, Kelly says, but I feel like if somebody betrays your trust, you can forgive them and you can get past it. And then Teresa says, exactly. I mean, I did forgive him because, again, my parents were around and I didn't want to hurt my parents. And then Kelly says, yes, that was traumatic. And Teresa says her parents were so upset. And she says, me and my brother were like best friends. We always got along. We never fought until the show. Kelly asks, was it the show? Teresa says, yes, which, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, it's really Bravo that did this to them. If you think about it, like, you know, Melissa is partly to blame, in my opinion, because she came on the show with the intention of going against her sister-in-law and taking them down. I mean, if you watch like her first interviews and the christening and all that, like clearly they came on to make a, you know, to make a splash, and they wanted to be at the fame level that Teresa was. And you know, that's why Joe Gorga made his little fake temper tantrum at the christening. Which granted it turned into a real one, but I think that's why he was like banging on the table or whatever. But anyways, at the end of the day, you know, that sort of like desire for fame is kind of what got this whole family into this mess, right? Like that's why they came on the show. You know, Bravo knew that bringing them on was something that, you know, was gonna probably destroy this family, or at least put this drama on display. And again, on display, no pun intended, Melissa Gorga. Okay. But you know, again, it's the people. At the end of the day, I guess you have to blame the people. Okay. So Teresa talks about how it was the jealousy, that she had her own thing. But she says, you know, it would have been nice if we were a united front, etc. And yeah, that's basically it. So nothing like super exciting there, but I just wanted to say that, you know, she's saying she'll never film with them again. So, you know, I just don't know if there's any point of having both Teresa and Melissa on the show going forward, or maybe even either of them. I don't know. I don't know if both of them are going to last. And we'll get to that because, you know, there was Andy talking about that as well. So after the premiere, or sorry, finale last night, somebody commented on social media saying, why did Melissa get involved and try and start with Teresa? She should be embarrassed with herself and her irrelevance last night. And then Jennifer Aiden responded and said, well, she's still talking about sprinkle cookies, so that should answer your question. So I guess Jen is trying to imply that, you know, Melissa's thirsty to stay on. And then Dolores was asked which two housewives she would bring back next season if she could pick. And she said Teresa and Jen Fessler, which I thought was interesting. I do think that Dolores, I think Dolores thinks Jen Aiden is annoying. Like, I think she doesn't, she can deal with her, but I think she, I've always thought, and we all know that Dolores has a longstanding history of not really liking Melissa, but I think she's kind of softened to Melissa in the last like two or three seasons. But I think at the end of the day, she's like, yeah, she's fine, but like, she's not like, you know, if it wasn't for the show, they probably wouldn't organically be friends. I also think the same thing with Jen Aiden and Dolores. So I can kind of understand why Dolores didn't pick Jen Aiden and would say Jen Fessler. I mean, Jen Fessler's fun. So then Andy was on his radio show and he was saying that, you know, Jersey's going to take a pause. It needs a lot of changes. I don't know what we're going to do with it. Like, where do we go from here? All this other stuff, right? And basically, you know, people kind of took snippets of what he said out of context. And I talked about this on my Patreon last week because I was like, if you actually listen to what he says, he's just naming the possibilities. Like, he says, maybe the show needs a whole new cast. Maybe we need all fresh faces, like something along those lines. But he never says this is what's happening. People really ran with it. So he, of course, had to clarify, which he did. And he said, he came back and he said, I was just spitballing. I wasn't saying the whole show is 100%. getting rebooted. So we don't know who's coming back. We don't know who's getting fired. And if there's one thing I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to be that there are going to be nonstop rumors and hearsay about who's getting fired and who's not, especially from all those like psychotically over the top Bravo accounts, you know, the ones that are like furiously on one side or the other. They are going to be announcing Melissa's fired, Teresa's fired. Like, you will hear it all in the next few months. I would say don't listen to any of it until we get confirmation from someone on the cast themselves who says, yes, I have been asked back. No, I have not been asked back, or Bravo. Anything else, I would say don't believe it, because I've said this on this podcast a million times. The most untrustworthy rumors are always casting ones, and there are always so many in between seasons. And again, the majority, you know, just do not come true. So we know season 15 is on ice, and likely they're not going to resume filming until 2025. I mean, isn't that what they always do? Like, don't they film? Oh, I guess they film in the summer. They do film, so they'd be filming now. Damn. So that means if they do their summer filming, we're going to have to wait till like 2026 to get a new season. I mean, I guess it could happen. What's happening with Atlanta. So I guess it could happen. In one way, I'm like relieved because the Jersey fandom is so toxic. But in another way, like, I'm going to miss it because I actually really enjoyed this season. Maybe unpopular opinion. Okay. So the other thing I wanted to talk about was Dina. So Dina Manzo put up a Instagram story, and she said this was her prediction for casting. So again, we've got like, everyone's got an opinion. Until we know who's cast, everyone's going to be guessing, saying what they think, putting out predictions. So Dina says lots of, what do I think will happen to RHO and Jay? Well, I know for a fact what Bravo wants to do, but my guess is keep two familiar faces and add four new ones. Listen, I mean, I agree with Dina, because I actually don't think it's going to be a fully new reboot. Like, I think they're going to go more, I don't think they're going to go the Roni route. I think they're going to go more the Atlanta route, which is where you have like a couple, like kind of, you know, OG anchors, and then all the rest are going to be new. Like, I think we'll have, you know, whoever, two of the more like original people. And then I think they're going to bring a whole bunch of new ones so that the drama doesn't have to be sides anymore. The drama can be more like, you know, the seasons where we had, I know she's a psychopath, but the seasons where we had Siggy, Flicker, and like though that to me, that was kind of like the sweet spot of the newer New Jersey. Like, after Teresa came back from jail, you know, we didn't have as much of the, like, the family drama had calmed down because her and Melissa were getting along, okay? And then we had all these new people, like, when Marge was new, before it started to get, like, too dark, you know, we had Marge, then we had Jen come, we had Siggy, like, we did have a sweet spot for, like, 2 or 3 years that were great. Like, we had some really good iconic moments, like the posh fashion show, piece of shit, Cocoa, whatever. We had that. We had some really good, like, I really enjoyed those seasons. We had like Marge versus Jen Aiden, where she was like, what's it called? You know, hit a nerve, like when she was talking about her husband sleeping in the pool house. We had Marge pushing Danielle's boyfriend in the pool. Like, we had some good times there. It just became so like, the bloggers and the online stuff and the digging for information, like, it just became too much. So, you know, that's why it's like, in order to get rid of that, the sides have to be gotten rid of. And the only way to do that is we need like enough new people that they can just kind of have like, we need it to be more like Miami or Roni, or what, the newer Roni, like where anyone can beef with anyone and people can be more individuals and friendships can shift and change, and two people could be close one season, but then they could get into a fight the other season. You know, like a normal fucking housewives show, not this like insanity. And again, like when it gets to like too much of sides, it becomes toxic. It's just like Potomac. Like Potomac's having the same issue. Okay. So let's talk about another big piece of news, which is that Phaedra Parks is returning to the Real Housewives of Atlanta. So we know Kenya got the boot, which I'm still salty about. But anyways, Phaedra is coming back. She posted, she put "you called, I answered," a picture of herself holding a peach. I'm excited, but I'm not. I have to be honest. Did I love Phaedra the first time around on Atlanta? Yeah, she had a great run. But the reason she had a great run, if I'm being honest, is more, a lot of it was more because of, like, she had good moments, like lying about her pregnancy and like stuff like that. Like, that was hilarious, obviously. But then a lot of her really like high key drama was because of Apollo, right? If you think back on it. Her whole conflict and fight with Kenya, all of that was, again, because of Apollo and then Apollo moving and stuff like that. And then Phaedra, because Phaedra's very, like, she hides things, right? Like, she likes to, like, she kind of likes to put out a persona or, like, a certain image of herself and her life. The problem was, is before she was married to Apollo and he was a loose cannon. So that couldn't, like, you know, she tried it. She really tried. And the other good thing is that she sometimes gets caught, like she did with the pregnancy, lying and stuff like that. And then, you know, so that is the good part of watching her, is because, you know, she tries to put out the image and then it gets disrupted by whatever. But now, you know, she doesn't, like, I feel like because of everything with Apollo, she's so much more cautious. So I'm worried that, you know, we're going to get the version of her that we got on Married to Medicine. Because I, as much as I loved her on The Traitors, she was perfect for The Traitors. But on Married to Medicine, she was a little bit of a disappointment. Okay. She was kind of boring. You know, she was just, I don't know. I forgot she was there half the time. Also, it's a couple show. Where's the couple? Like, she doesn't seem willing to show her relationships or whoever she's dating. And that's a problem. That is a problem, in my opinion. But on that note, there has been some news about Married to Medicine that relates to this. So I want to do it kind of back to back here. Hang on a sec. Okay. So Dr. Heavenly, who is always down to give us like all the tea that you can find, because she's just one of those housewives. Well, I guess she's not a housewife, but whatever. You know what I mean? She's one of those Bravo celebrities who... she doesn't know when to stop. Like, she's on social media. She's tweeting all the time. She's doing videos. Like, she's a lot. But I mean, listen, one of the greatest casting decisions ever made by Bravo was Dr. Heavenly. So allegedly Phaedra, though, quit Married to Medicine because Dr. Heavenly invited Apollo and his wife to a cast trip, which is, like, listen, if you said that about anyone else, I'd be like, no, that's made up. But Dr. Heavenly would totally do that. Dr. Heavenly would 100% be on Married to Medicine, getting annoyed with Phaedra and getting annoyed that Phaedra wasn't sharing anything from her life, and getting annoyed that she was just there, like, doing her funny, like, confessional one-liners. And she would be like, how about this? How about I bring your ex-husband on with his new girlfriend? I could just see it. So apparently Phaedra had a huge argument with a lot of people. She left the trip and the rest of the show's filming. That is what the rumor is. So again, just a rumor. However, Dr. Heavenly says that part of this rumor is true, but it's a mixture of lies and truth. Okay, so this is what she said in, like, a, I don't know what to call it, a video of herself answering questions, basically. So I mean, I think if I know Phaedra, and I feel like, well, if I know Phaedra as a reality star, and I think I do, I think that she will walk off that show if she's not, or if she's being tested in a way by her castmates that she doesn't like, you know, especially given like the timing, you know, Kenya's gone. Kenya and Candy are gone from Real Housewives of Atlanta. My fear for Atlanta is that I feel like a lot of people feel like Portia and Phaedra are going to save Atlanta. And I think we have to just be like cautiously optimistic. I don't know if it's going to happen. I mean, I want it to happen, but I don't know if it can. So we shall see. We shall see. Okay. Speaking of casting and filming and all that kind of stuff, let's talk about Salt Lake City, because basically Monica was, I think it was on a podcast that Monica was saying that, you know, she couldn't come back for a new season because like certain people on the cast didn't want her there. Otherwise, you know, if it wasn't for them, and I think it was maybe Heather Gay that was being targeted the most in this interview, but basically if it wasn't for Heather and other cast members, Monica would be back on the new season of SLC if other cast members weren't basically being like whiny babies or whatever the case is. So Lisa Barlow tweeted, "I can't imagine being so pathetic and desperate, I can't move on." And then Monica replied and said, "Mad because you know it's true. You really have much bigger things to worry about. I can think of 500,000 other things right off the top of my head. Hashtag 500K. So I guess Monica is implying that Lisa has debt or has some sort of, you know, I don't know, outstanding bills or whatever the case is, or loss. Oh, yeah, because she has a lawsuit. Sorry, I'm just remembering this on the spot. But yeah, there was a lawsuit against Lisa Barlow recently, and I think she was being sued for 500K or something like that. So yeah, the Salt Lake City ladies are still going at it, even though one of them is technically not a Salt Lake City lady. All I want in life is a trailer for the new season of Salt Lake City, but it's just, like, it's just not happening. In Real Housewives of Miami news, they are coming back. They will begin, thank God, by the way. I was so worried they were going to get canceled. It is such a fantastic housewife show. If you don't watch it, I don't know why you're not watching it. I need you to watch it. It's so fucking good, I promise. And they are coming back. Filming begins in September, so soon. In a few weeks, they're going to be filming season 7. And, you know, we know Alexis is getting divorced from Todd. So we've got that storyline. We've got Larsa and Marcus Jordan have broken up again. Apparently this time it's like official. And Marcus is dating. Wait, where is it? I have it. So apparently Marcus is, he was photoed partying with his rumored new girlfriend, Ashley Stevenson, after his split from Larsa Pippen. And people are kind of making comparisons like, oh, he has a type. Because, yeah, she's kind of got a Larsa look, like she's got really big, over the top injected lips, like way too injected. And she's got like, you know, the plastic surgery face. She's, you know, voluptuous like Larsa. I don't know what else to say. Now, apparently Larsa is dating Zay Wilson, who was from season 1 of The Ultimatum. So I don't know if any of you watched that. I think it's a Netflix show. I only know because I watch Perfect Match on Netflix. Great show, by the way. And sometimes like some of the contestants on Perfect Match are from Ultimatum. Oh no, I do know Ultimatum. I did watch that. Okay, sorry, it's coming back to me. That there are so many of these dating shows out there, I can't even keep them straight. But The Ultimatum is the one where you, like, one person wants to get married and the other person's not sure. So it's like, you have to make a decision. Are you going to put a ring on it or not or whatever? Because it could be the other way around. It doesn't, you know, it could be like the guy wants to get married and the girl doesn't or whatever the case is. Okay, so Zay Wilson, I did watch that season. I knew he looked familiar. I kind of want to go back and remind myself of what his drama was, because the fact that he's dating Larsa is like, whoa. So this comes from TMZ. And apparently, you know, she doesn't care that her ex is on vacation with an IG model because she's dating Zay Wilson. So yeah, I guess Ashley Stevenson, Marcus's new girlfriend, is an Instagram model. So I'm sure you could look her up and check that out if you'd like. All right, let's go on to some Valley news. We have some Valley news. So you may have heard, because this was pretty big news, that Jax Taylor has checked himself in to an inpatient program to seek treatment for mental health. Okay. So basically, he's taking time for himself, according to TMZ. He's getting treatment for his mental health struggles. And all this is happening while he's like, you know, split from Britney. Basically, he's always been candid about his mental health struggles, according to his PR representative, especially during the past few months on his podcast. I don't listen to their podcast because I cannot. I mean, if there's two people I don't need to hear talk for a long time, it's Jax and Britney, especially Britney. No offense. Just every 2 seconds she stops and does that laugh, and I just can't. His publicist adds that he has made the decision to seek inpatient treatment. This is a particularly sensitive time for him and his family. They ask for privacy and respect until he is ready to speak more on the matter. Now, I don't want to be like the negative person or the skeptic or whatever, but this is Jax Taylor. And once... Listen, I go by the theory. You've shown me who you are. I'm going to believe you. I go by that. I believe him. I don't think, like, I really think that Jax is like a sociopath or narcissist or something. He's got some personality disorder, which generally therapy only empowers those people because it gives them all the therapy words and phrases that they can use against people. Listen, in an ideal, perfect world, I would love to believe that this is a real sincere thing, that he's really getting true help, that he actually is committed to changing himself. But there's also that part of me that thinks this is a PR thing. They're filming The Valley. They probably just wrapped up filming or they're wrapping up. Listen, prediction, he did something during filming that is so bad or atrocious that, you know, this is his PR stunt to make up for it. To be like, yeah, I know, guys. I know I'm terrible and I did that. But look, I'm so serious this time. I'm doing inpatient treatment, not just seeing a therapist. And like, I don't know. That is what I think. Okay. I'm not trying to be insensitive to people who go in for mental health struggles. If anything, I think Jax is insensitive because I think he uses mental health in order to get away with bad behavior and to treat people poorly. And that, in my opinion, is what is actually wrong. Now, the other thing is that Britney posted on her Instagram story, and this was like yesterday. So I think Britney is sending us all a message that this whole inpatient treatment thing is a PR thing, because she posted on her Instagram story. Basically, it says it's a split screen. And it has the Mona Lisa on the left. And then on the right, it has the Mona Lisa, except it has Megan Fox's face and like really nice cleavage. And so the original Mona Lisa says with a narcissist. And then the like hot Megan Fox Mona Lisa says after a narcissist. Because, you know, people have been like commenting on how like Britney's like looks better. She looks happier. Like she seems, you know, in all the pictures you see of her, she's like, you know, you can just see it on her face. She physically looks better, but you can also see like happiness glowing from her. And she posted that. So that's obviously a message to the audience to not forget that we are not this is not like a regular person doing inpatient treatment or someone, you know, that we can trust. You know, it's okay to stay skeptical when it comes to people like Tom Sandoval and Jax Taylor, because there is nothing that they will not use, and there is no length that they will not go to cover for their actions, to get their popularity back, to get people to forgive them after they've treated them like garbage or been verbally abusive or whatever the case is. There's just no length. There's no limits, okay? So I just want to remind everyone of that. Now, meanwhile, Britney is, you know, living her best life. So sources have told the Daily Mail that she is noticeably happier lately since meeting Tanner, who is he's someone from the Bachelorette world. I don't watch The Bachelor or Bachelorette, but I guess he was a contestant. And basically she was seen with him at a Bachelorette watch party hosted last month at the sports bar she and Jax opened. That's funny. And according to Page Six, she is hanging out with, his name is Tanner Courtaud? I'm not sure how to say it. As Jax seeks mental health treatment. I mean, I hate when they do that with the headline. Like, it's not like she's hanging out with him because she's like, oh, my ex is in mental health treatment. Now I can like run free. Like, it's like, okay. I also saw that there was something like Jax was still posting or commenting on social media or something. And people were like, isn't he supposed to be in inpatient treatment? Like, are you allowed to be on your phone and using social media? I don't know. Stay skeptical. That's all I'm going to say. Okay, so let's talk about Vanderpump Rules because we have a little bit of news from them. Apparently, you know, we've got all sorts of reality TV crossover stuff happening. Like, we've got, you know, Brittany with Bachelorette world people. And now we've got Katie spotted dating someone from Love Island USA, Connor Newsom. So apparently, and he is like, he's 28, she's 37, which whatever. And they were seen at Laurel Tavern, which is a restaurant in Studio City, California. And according to the source, they had a table in the corner. They were not joined by anything else. So it looked, you know, like a low-key kind of dating outing. So, you know, this could be a PR thing, especially because Katie did the, like, guest hosting thing with Ariana on Love Island. So maybe, you know, she met and they were like, let's do this to, like, up our profile. Or they met and they actually like each other and they're dating, which is also awesome. So get it, Katie. I hope that things, you know, work out for her. And I hope that he's not just like using her to get on Vanderpump Rules or something like that. Cause that's one thing I'm always like cautious about for these girls, right? Is these like user guys that are, you know, the John Jansons. There are so many John Jansons out there. We have to be careful. Also, I don't know if you guys heard, but Rachel Levis had something to say about Jax checking into rehab. And she wrote this whole like note saying, you know, she typed it up and then she posted it on Instagram. And she said, I am deeply saddened to hear of Jax's mental health struggles and I wholeheartedly support his decision to seek treatment. I pray that his news is met with the open-mindedness that mine lacked as I faced mockery and accusations of simply being in a spa. Girl, this is not about you. Like, why is she making this about her? Okay. I hope he finds the healing that I did through my own journey. I mean, I would argue she hasn't healed at all. Like, based on what I've heard on her podcast and every interview she's done and the way she's acted, she seems worse, in my opinion. Like, I hope Jax is going somewhere different because wherever she went, I don't know. It's hardly an advertisement for that place. Okay. So I hope he finds the healing that I did through my own journey. The situation highlights the urgent need for mental health care and accessible treatment for reality TV stars. Okay. Like, it could be, why does it have to be reality TV stars? Anybody in any job. Like, I understand that reality TV stars maybe face very specific struggles because of fame and because of being known and putting their lives on display. I get that. But like he's not going to a place that like we specialize in reality TV stars. Like, it's just and he checked himself in. I don't know. I think she's still trying to make this about the reality TV reckoning. That's what's annoying me about it. She's still trying to make this about like her and Bethany and that whole bullshit thing that they both failed miserably at. And like, girl, it's just not working. So she wrote that. She got a ton of criticism online for making it about her, which, yeah, that's all she does. Everything she makes about her. Now, Victoria, who is Tom Sandoval's girlfriend, had something to say about this. She commented on, basically, TMZ had a post about this and about how Rachel faced all this backlash for making Jax's mental health treatment thing about her. And Victoria Robinson commented and said, girl leaves VPR, ruins people's lives. Okay, well, your boyfriend did that, just so you know. Anyways, but then lives and breathes VPR after, still continues to try and ruin people's lives. If you were genuine, you would reach out on a personal level, but instead you post it for attention and relevance. You post it. Also, it's so obvious you had your publicist reach out to TMZ for a pity party and attention. Gross. Listen, is Victoria right about Rachel's motives for this whole post about Jax, etc.? Yeah. But is she also wrong and an idiot too? Also, yeah. Because it's like, you ruin people's lives. I mean, yeah, she did with your boyfriend. Okay? And you're just as thirsty, Victoria. So let's stop trying to play like the hero here. Okay, so let's go on to Real Housewives of Orange County, because they are having, first of all, a fantastic season, loving every second of it. Even the petty episode about whether Heather called the paparazzi on herself or not, I'm just loving it all. So Carlos King did an interview with Alexis Bellino and John Jansen, and I have a few highlights for you. So first of all, the majority of people, according to John, did not know that he didn't want to film with Shannon, but she wouldn't have survived if she didn't have a job. Okay. Isn't that like, I don't know. Isn't that like a lot of people wouldn't, I'm assuming he means financially. Like, okay. So is he saying that if he refused, they would have fired Shannon? I really don't think so. I really don't think so, because Shannon is such a goddamn mess. And it's not like John's presence was like so, like he was barely around. Like I can like count on one hand how many scenes I saw him in. And I feel like I remember him speaking like twice. I don't know. It's not like he wasn't like, he didn't have like a, it wasn't like her and David Bedore. Like that was like, we saw that relationship, you know? Anyways, he tried to make the best of having to film. This guy's the worst. Oh, I hate him. Okay. He's hurt financially and emotionally due to Shannon's lies about him. Bravo isn't at fault. You know, and the only reason the cast doesn't like him is because they believe drunk Shannon. Well, I mean, they were also around you for 3 years. And I'm sorry, but like Emily straight up said, like, she's been around him and she's seen him like be a dick. So I'm going to take her word over his. Okay. What else? What else did they say? Okay, so he said that he was asked like, what was it like dating Shannon? And he said that being with Shannon was like failing all day, every day. Wow, that's harsh. But what did he mean? Like, I guess he meant failing at the relationship, but it still sounds harsh. I guess he's trying to say that she maybe like nothing was ever good enough for her. Like that's the impression I'm getting. But he says, you know, he tried, they were just never meant to be together and his stress is gone now, except you're suing her. So it's not completely gone. And then John says that Shannon is not still in love with her ex-husband, David Bedore, which I think we all knew. He has not watched any of Alexis's past seasons. I don't know if I believe that, but okay. John says he is not a fame whore, because he offered to pay Alexis the same amount of money as RHOC is if she didn't do the show. And where was he going to get that money from? From his lawsuit with Shannon, suing her for the facelift, probably? He's like, I'll take the facelift money. Maybe that's why he's suing Shannon, because he told Alexis he was going to give her some money. And he's like, shit, I don't have any money, because all the money I had before was Shannon's, or at least some of it was, because he allegedly would borrow money from Shannon. Listen, I'm not saying Shannon was like innocent in their relationship. I'm sure she did a lot of fucked up things and had her faults as well. But like, this guy is just, he's too much. So he says he offers to pay Alexis this. Give me a break. Like, there's just no way. There is absolutely no way that he did that. Okay. Him and Alexis say that it will be shown profusely throughout the season that Shannon's words have no merit and that Shannon is a liar, and they allude to this being exposed later on in the season. Okay. I mean, I guess something could come up. So far, I've only seen Alexis acting like a pick me girl and being pathetic. That's all I've seen so far. Then Alexa said, how does he love bomb you if he's broke and doesn't give you anything, huh? And you're paying for everything. How does that make sense? Nothing she says makes sense. Actually, it does, because you can be poor and love bomb someone. Love bombing does not necessarily mean gifts. It can mean just constant words of affirmation, love letters, texts, phone calls, like going over the top, telling the person you're meant to be together. It could be buying like a bouquet of flowers at the grocery store every day. Like it doesn't, you don't have to be like putting the person on a private jet or something to love bomb them. Sorry. Love bombing is a thing, and the term was started by like the average person out in the dating world. It wasn't like created, as far as I know, by people of the 1%. So calm down, Alexis. It actually does make sense. All right. And basically they allude as well to not liking Emily and Gina because she's seen a lot of things. But, you know, Alexis is waiting to see how the season unfolds because she feels like Emily and Gina's confessionals have been brutal to John. I wouldn't say brutal. Like Emily said that she thinks he's a douche, and that's her opinion. Like it's not like she was like listing like, you know, a bunch of secrets about him that none of us knew. That would be brutal. But I mean, maybe that's coming. I would love that. Okay. All right. Anything else? Basically, oh yeah, the other thing Alexis said is that she's heard through the grapevine that the rest of the cast does not like Shannon, but they smile in her face and then talk behind her back. And very reliable sources have told her this. I mean, isn't that what Housewives is, kind of? Like, I don't think that's any sort of big revelation. Her and John are madly in love, and America will see that as the season progresses. I hope we don't, because I really don't care, if I'm going to be honest. Now, the other big news from the RHOC world is that Vicky Gunvalson is being sued by a 74-year-old woman for financial elder abuse. Now, there's a lot of details to this, so I'm just going to give an overview and a summary of what you actually need to know, because the article is quite long. I did read the whole thing. Okay, I'm not Kyle Richards. I actually read it. Because remember when her and Kyle, who was it? It was Kyle and it was all of them except Sutton. They're like, yeah. I didn't read the LA Times article. It was 10 pages. It was too long. Okay, guys. But basically, she's being sued by a woman named Diane Field, who, you know, the short and long of it is that Diane was married to her husband, George, and he became ill. And, you know, basically they were looking to like move around their investments, you know, make some new investments. They were looking for like, you know, financial planning and guidance, and they'd have money in stocks and all this stuff. And basically she went to, I guess, because Vicky does like life insurance, financial planning, stuff like that. And she wanted to invest and have things in a way so that, you know, her kids would be set up, you know, that she'd also be able to enjoy some of her money like now while she's still alive because she's getting older. She also has or had lung cancer and had surgery and, you know, went through cancer treatment, and her husband died before the lung cancer. So she was going through a vulnerable time, you know, while she was working with Vicky with all of this. So basically Vicky and I guess one of her partners named Allie had sort of like advised her to make certain investments and that she had to pay premiums. And the point of the story is that at one point she found out that she actually didn't need to, she kept paying these $100,000 premiums, and at one point found out that from someone else at the company that she was actually like had like excess in the account. And there was, you know, if anything, she had extra, there was like $600,000 in there. And she was only, you know, she only needed like a certain amount to pay into it. And the person was like, actually, you have extra. You don't need to make another $100,000 payment. Like, who told you that? And I guess it was Vicky and this guy, Allie, that advised her that. And, you know, basically, like, they were in these accounts where it was hard for her to have access to her money, or she couldn't have access to it and she wanted to. And point of the story is that she feels she was, you know, nothing was explained to her clearly. She was misled. She was told, like, sort of half-truths, you know. She believes that like they're scamming her in some way with these $100,000 premiums that she didn't need to pay. And yeah, so she's, and she says, you know, this was all happening at a very vulnerable time because her husband was dying. She was taking care of him. And then she was diagnosed with lung cancer, and that, you know, this was a very difficult thing for her. And, you know, she, I guess she wants to get out of all her agreements with them. Now, there was also in 2018, Vicky was sued by an 82-year-old woman named Joan Lyle for alleged fraud over a life insurance policy she was sold. So this isn't the first time. Now, granted, when you're, you know, bigger and you own a big company, you know, yes, more lawsuits could come your way, etc. You know, but that being said, it doesn't mean that there isn't anything to these. And we know Vicky lies. We do know Vicky lies. Now, a lawyer for Vicky said the claims alleged against Gunvalson are completely false. She's always acted professionally and with the utmost truthfulness and integrity in every transaction that she acted as an insurance, that she acted as an insurance agent for her clients. She has never engaged in any fraudulent conduct nor misrepresented any terms of any policy. So yeah, I guess it was the terms of the policy as well that Diane felt were not clear or explained, or were not what she thought they were, or they were not the same as what Vicky told her. She denies, Vicky denies any false allegations made against her. Okay. Now, in other news from RHOC that kind of relates more to the show is that Heather Dubrow is devastated, which is, when you hear what she's devastated by, you'll be like, oh God, she's so dramatic. But I mean, she's an actress. But Heather Dubrow is devastated by Tamara's reaction to Katie's claims that she stages her paparazzi photos. I don't know how Heather could be devastated for that, because didn't Tamara say that to her face like last season? Maybe she means that, you know, she thought like her and Tamara have made up and we're friends now. But I thought that that was a thing that Tamara had said already. But I mean, even if you've made up with the person, like, you kind of know they think that about you. So I don't know. I can't have that much sympathy here. I guess she probably wanted Tamara in confessionals and conversations to have her back more. But I mean, there's only so many times I can feel bad for people who knowingly go down the Tamara path and then, you know, act all butthurt when they get burned. Okay. Because it's like, if you're going to be friends with like the biggest snake in the housewives world, you can't get upset when the snake bites you. I'm sorry. You just can't. Like, you know what Tamara's capable of. She spent like all last season trying to take you down. Like, what do you think? She's all of a sudden like has completely changed overnight? Like, no, that's just not how it works. All right. So Gina also is saying that she, in an interview, that she adores Shannon Bedore. Maybe she used adore because it kind of rhymes. I don't know. Gina says Shannon is a completely different person after her DUI. Or could it be that the audience was more on Shannon's side last season and the audience reacted, you know, the audience was much more forgiving of Shannon's DUI than I think Gina and maybe others on the cast, including Tamara, expected. So now Gina's like, love her, you know, because listen, Gina's going to do whatever she can to stay on this show, including befriending Shannon, who I don't think she really likes. However, Jeff Lewis says on, because we know he's a good friend of Shannon Bedore. So on his radio show, he says, or podcast, he says that he's developed a soft spot for Gina because she's been rallying around Shannon. She's got Shannon's back, and I appreciate that. So yeah, I guess he sees her as a real supporter. So, you know, that's good. We're glad she has someone, because it doesn't seem like she has. Well, I mean, she's got Jen. She's got Gina. Emily seems to be, like, I don't know if Emily's necessarily on her side, but Emily's definitely not on John Jansen's side. So there's that. So yeah, we'll see. All right. And next we have some, I put this under Roni news, but I guess it's like Roni legacy kind of news because it's about Dorinda. But apparently Bravo is developing a Real Housewives spinoff with Roni's Dorinda Medley set at Bluestone Manor. So the show is going to be kind of like a Vanderpump Rules, except Dorinda Medley Rules, where basically it's going to be or I guess even similar to Vanderpump Villa, where Medley is going to be the boss to a young staff as they welcome guests who are staying on her property. So yeah, sort of like a below deck slash, you know, Vanderpump Villa kind of thing. Listen, Medley has capitalized on Bluestone Manor. She's, you know, launched her own bourbon. She's partnered with Airbnb to allow fans to stay at her home in Western Massachusetts. I think this is actually a good idea. This could totally flop, but it could also be amazing. The reason that I think the thing with Vanderpump Villa is like Lisa Vanderpump has been playing this character for so long. And, you know, I think we're all just kind of like, okay, whatever. And, you know, from what I heard, I didn't watch Vanderpump Villa. I've heard it was terrible. I've also heard it's like seriously overproduced and scripted. You know, Vanderpump Rules was worked out because it was authentic and raw. And when it happened, like it was all real and happening. And Lisa really did have this crazy staff, right? But, you know, so that's the thing with this is it what they need to do is try, you know, they need to try not to force it too much like they did with Vanderpump Villa. Now, Vanderpump Villa was on Hulu and it's also coming out of like, you know, the Vanderpump World franchise. So people are like, oh, another one, right? So, you know, since this is kind of new and Dorinda is like batshit, it could be good because you could have a really like I could see Dorinda like making people cry. This has a chance. This has a shot, okay? I'm curious to see what it'll be. And I'm sure Dorinda is absolutely thrilled because we know that nobody wants to be back on Bravo more than Dorinda. I mean, there's maybe one or two others who do as well, but Dorinda's up in the top three who are like, just, they want to be back on so bad. All right, let's talk about some general Bravo news because there's a couple things. They also announced that Peacock is actually going to be launching a Real Housewives spinoff as well. Now, this one is going to be a dating show featuring Luann, Gisele Bryant, Shannon Bador, and Ashley Darby, and it's titled Love Hotel. Listen, I don't really think it's fair, though, like to put all these women on a show with Luann. Because like not that Luann is like hotter than all of them or something like that. That's not what I'm saying. I just feel like Luann's just gonna have sex with every single guy. I don't know. I hope she won't. I hope Luann will just date. Listen, I'm also concerned about Luann because I'm not sure if she's going through a rough time with her mental health or whatever. There's been a couple of clips of her floating around. It's giving like the year that she got arrested, like a little like out of control. You know, she's like in this podcast clip, she's vaping, she's like talking shit about Bethany, and it's something. I mean, it's hilarious, but it's still concerning. But I don't know, I guess we're gonna see. So basically, the dating series will have eligible singles in a quest to win the hearts of Bravo's biggest bachelorettes. Whoa. So I guess it's kind of like Bachelorette meets, I don't know, Bravo in a way, except we're going to have four bachelorettes. Like, I wonder if they'll have like, okay, I'm assuming it's just going to be a pool of singles, you know, and then they're all dating these four and they can kind of see who connects. I mean, I like this. Because I'm interested to see how these women are like on an actual date. Like, we didn't get to see a lot of that. We really didn't. Like, Gisele like has showed us like one relationship, which is when she was dating that one guy. I can't remember what his name was. Maybe she showed us like one date that she went on. But here's my other question. Isn't she technically still married? I mean, I guess it doesn't matter. I guess she's not with Michael Darby. I don't know. It's a mess. Okay. But yeah, that'll be something. I just hope Shannon doesn't bring all her costumes with her because, yeah, that could be something. And Bravo also announces that it's going to have a Bravo Fan Fest in Miami, November 21st to 23rd. Am I going? I mean, is that a weekend? I kind of want to go. Because Miami, that's a flight I think I could actually afford and I could do. I might have to do it, guys. I might go. I'll let you know. Okay. Bravo Fan Fest. I guess this is to make up for skipping BravoCon this year because we know BravoCon's not coming back till 2025. And this is something different. Yeah, I'm here for it. But I'm going to need to hear the list of Bravo celebrities that will be there and some more details before I'm booking a flight or buying a ticket. Okay, last thing we have for today is, and this has been a long episode, but that's okay because we got stuff to catch up on. The last thing we have is some Summer House news. West is allegedly dating. This is not confirmed, or at least went on a date that I think was filmed for the show. This is according to Summer House Reddit. So thank you, Reddit. I think it's r/BravoSummerHouse. I have to double check. I'm sorry. But you can just search. It's like the biggest Summer House Reddit subgroup out there. I think it's the only one, at least that I've seen. Anyway, so West allegedly is on a date with Instagram influencer Hallie Batchelder. I am the worst with last names, by the way. I'm sure you have heard me when I tried to pronounce like Tom Sandoval's lawyer's last name. I'm really bad with last names. So I'm sorry. Hallie Batchelder. Okay, I'm going to spell it Batchelder in case you want to creep her on Instagram. And meanwhile, we also have that Carl has launched. Well, he hasn't really launched, but he has announced the name of his sober bar, cafe, whatever it is. It's called Soft. So Carl's sober bar is coming. I mean, the comma is absolutely killing me. Okay, because they have like this little slogan and it's here, comma, you are. Like, why? I don't understand why they need the comma after here, but okay. So here, comma, you are. Consider this our soft launch. We can't wait to share more with you. Now, of course, he's getting a lot of backlash, partly because the name sucks. Listen, I get it. I get that it's like you have like hard drinks, like liquor. So these are like, you know, and there's the whole idea of like soft drinks that do not. I get that. However, just the name Soft on its own for a bar, it's apparently a bar / cafe with mindful drinks or whatever, something like that. And, you know, there's going to be drinks like mushroom infused and drinks for different, like, I don't know, needs, I guess. I don't know. Some of it just sounds like maybe like, it sounds like they're putting a marketing spin on like, you know, energy boost drinks or drinks that would give you more like protein or vitamins and stuff, but they're going to be kind of marketed more like mocktails. And then they're going to have maybe drinks that are infused with things, I guess. I don't know. That's kind of the impression that I got. I did look at their IG. It was just so much fluffy language that it was hard to even really understand, like, or get a clear picture of what they're going to be serving. There's absolutely no mention that I could find or clear mention of what the food or what the menu would be. I don't know. So if you want to go have a mocktail for like $27, I guess this is going to be your place. Listen, I don't know how much it's going to be. What I do know is that bars and restaurants make the majority of their money off of booze. And if you don't have booze and you have just non-alcoholic stuff, I'm not saying it can't be done, but you are going to have to charge a premium and you sure as fuck better have good food. Yes, I understand that there's more people moving towards like the non-drinking kind of world. However, there's also things to know in the hospitality world and that, you know, the money made off alcohol is a big thing, right? There have even been restaurants where they don't serve alcohol. Like I was reading, somebody was talking about one that was owned by a Muslim owner. So they didn't serve alcohol and even they eventually started serving it because they just couldn't meet the money that they needed to meet in order to, you know, make any sort of profit. So it is difficult. The other thing that makes it really hard is that Carl has no hospitality experience. This is the thing that I really take issue with. I don't like, you know, in terms of doing the like a cafe or whatever with non-alcoholic stuff, would I go to it? It's not for me. Would I spend that much money on non-alcoholic stuff? No, to me, it's the same as like iced tea or like just any, like to me, a lot of these like non-alc seltzers and stuff like that, flavored whatever stuff, it's just a marketing thing just so that they can get you to spend $17 on one when you could go to Costco or something and really get something the same. You could get a 2-4 of something for that same price. I'm just saying, that's my opinion. But again, I understand that there are a lot of people who are sober that want like a cool place to go. Totally get that. However, that is tough to do in New York City, right? It's very expensive. The rents are super high. Covering that, being able to pay your staff. But I don't think Carl's really doing anything. Like, it sounds like he's got investors and he's just kind of like the famous name or face to it. Or is it actually going to, it hasn't actually opened yet. So I don't know. Are they actually going to do this? Or is it going to be more of like a pop-up or who knows? Like, it's really unclear right now. And again, this is why it's like, I wouldn't even call this a soft launch because there isn't even a location to go to. I would say this is more just a, like an announcement of the brand, which fine. So again, to go back to my original point, sorry, that was a long rant. He's getting a lot of criticism because there was this whole thing with Lindsay of him asking her to be soft with him, etc. And she was upset about that. Yet now he calls it soft. He says it has nothing to do with that, which that could be true. But it's just a little hard to believe, you know, and again, it's like any press is good press. He could be going under that theory. But, you know, that's sort of the thing like that he kind of was like, oh, I'm sorry for that. I didn't even mean to offend women by, you know, using that term or whatever. And now he's calling the bar that. So it's a little like, huh. But at the same time, I don't know. At the end of the day, the real issue is that it's just not a great name for a bar, cafe, whatever. So I don't know. We'll see. Listen, do I want Carl to fail and like lose a lot of money? No, but I don't really think he's like, I don't think, has he even put any money in? I feel like he just has investors and he's getting like paid to be like the name. Like, I feel like this is kind of like Jax with Jax Studio City. You know, like he just has people who already do this, who are just like, here, sign on. We just want your name and promotion. And then we'll do the legwork and we're going to put up the money. And we just want you to be like the face of it for the most part. And we're going to put up most of it. I feel like it's kind of like that. You know what I mean? Like maybe he has like a small investment in it. Cause like, I don't see, like, it's not like Carl, he's not a restaurateur. He has no hospitality experience. Like, and unless he's going to all of a sudden rise to the occasion, like in order to own a restaurant and run it successfully, like, especially in the first few years, like owners like live in the restaurant. They have to do a lot of that work because otherwise if you're paying a general manager or somebody to oversee it and you're paying them a salary, which you would have to, you are going to make no money because that's how it is. And restaurants are the hardest businesses to be successful in, and very, especially in New York City. So I'm very skeptical of all this. Okay, so that is my closing thoughts about Summer House and Carl. I'm sure we'll get some updates on this soon. And thank you all for joining me. I hope you all are still enjoying your fantastic summer and that you have a great week. And I'll see you next week for more Bravo news. And until then, you are now in the know for everything Bravo. Bye.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Your support really means everything to me. And this show wouldn't be possible without you, the listeners. So please, if you enjoy the podcast, leave a 5-star rating and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. For more, you can join my Patreon, patreon.com/BravoandBotox. And for $5 a month, you'll get 4 extra podcast episodes a month. You'll also get early releases of Bravo Paper episodes and more. Please also subscribe to my YouTube channel at The Bravo Papers and follow me on Twitter, Instagram, at Bravo and Botox, and at The Bravo Papers. If you'd like to buy me a coffee, you can at buymeacoffee.com/bravoandbotox. You know, send your love through some much needed caffeine. And any guest that was on today's episode will be in the show notes, all their social media and contact information. So thank you so much, everyone. Keep overanalyzing Bravo.